Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Tommy, Ocean Chinook or Puget Sound Coho, what is your palate favorite?
And you drop that kokanee on top of that barn door halibut's head, 67 feet of water, and he was not happy about that.
Well, I don't know. What do you think? Boxers or briefs?
Ooh, I'm going to have to go with a European cut Speedo.
Fantastic. Excellent choice.
I love tuna. I do love tuna.
Heck yeah! Hey, you know, I have a buddy who refers to Canadian geese as flying carp. Obviously, he's not cooking them.
Right? He clearly.
Right? Oh, ocean snook.
Seriously?
Hands down.
Really?
Hands down. I don't fish for coho.
Ah, good point. Hey, speaking of grind, can you tell the difference between ground deer and ground elk? Honestly, taste the difference.
You know, Dwayne, we only get one chance to live this life. Mm-hmm. And you will always regret the things that you don't do. So you know what I tell people? Buy the damn boat.
Hey, you know, the facts are, some days are just a grind. Welcome to Fish Hunt Northwest, the number one fishing and hunting talk show throughout the Pacific Northwest and beyond. Now here's your host, Dwayne England, and of course, the infamous Tommy Donlan.
Hello, and welcome to Fish Hunt Northwest. Dwayne England coming to you from the Fish Hunt Northwest studio this evening. Yes, once again, flying solo, Tommy out for another week. Must be nice. Apparently, he'll be back. Joining us back next week, and rumor has it there may be some elk that hit the dirt. We'll let him get into all of that next week when he's back. Looking forward to that. So tonight you're stuck with me, but no big deal. We got a lot of great content to get through. We're covering some hunting, we're covering some fishing, and we're going to get into all of that here real shortly. Want to thank everybody for tuning in. If it's your first time here on Root Sports, appreciate you checking us out. And take a little time, if you would, jump on over to our webpage, www.fishhuntnw.com. There you're going to find a number of things to take advantage of. Two coupons to speak of. FHN20 with Edge Rods. The FHN20 coupon at checkout is going to save you 20% on every fishing rod through Edge Rods if it's not already attached to a previous discount or reduced pricing. Then, of course, with Phelps Game Calls, Fish Hunt NW10, going to get you 10% off all Phelps Game Calls through the rest of the year. And plenty to take advantage of there, as we got a lot of hunting going on now, and it will continue through the fall into the first part of winter. So tons of info, as I mentioned, to cover tonight. A couple things. I don't know what you had going on this last week, but how about the weather? I mean, 75 degrees yesterday again, and then about 70 degrees today. Boy, it's kind of raising havoc with some of the plans indoor, some of the hunts. I know last Monday I had planned to hit the deer field, my little kind of honey hole that's done well for me the last couple years. I put a tree stand in there, as you all know. I opted to spend Monday there. I actually sat that tree stand for 12 hours in that blustering, sideways pounding rain and wind, waiting for that weather window break, which did actually happen about 4:30 in the afternoon. I was anticipating some deer getting up on the move later in that day before dark. I figured it was going to be a done deal. And, you know, not a single deer moving other than the 2-point alongside the road on my drive home. So, hey, but you can't shoot them sitting on the couch, putting in the time. This weekend is all about deer hunting before I get back to fishing. Looking forward to that. 22nd is Sunday. I've actually killed my deer in this area the last two seasons on the 22nd, believe it or not. So I'm hopeful that the 22nd is going to come through, although the weather is pretty much stable. There's no pressure systems dumping. There's no, you know, tremendous temperature drops. So I'm not anticipating a lot of deer movement. They could prove me wrong as we get a little further into this rut and those blacktails start getting a little more active. So I guess we'll wait and see. We're trying to work the weather windows and be out there when those bucks come out in the daylight. That is the key. Hey, before I move along here real quick, pre-holiday sale starts today at Sportco. Don't miss out on some amazing deals. Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Sundays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sportco with everything, most everything on sale. The deals are crazy. You definitely want to take advantage of that. Early holiday specials. Get down there and check it out or check it out online and save a ton of money. All right, running down the show. We got a good one tonight as we do each and every week. Welcoming back to the studio, Trent Fisher with Born and Raised Outdoors. The crew's been very busy. Those guys are always on the move. Very busy out on several hunts in multiple states. Trent is here to talk all about it. And then, of course, because there's too much info to cover, I got him coming back for a second segment. We'll cover some of the hunting tips and failures and, of course, discuss several different hunts and when that first video will drop that we're all anticipating and waiting for. Then we'll have a short, quick video, one that we just kind of shot last year. Pretty simple, basic day. Jordan and I out with my folks. GoPros in hand, and Jordan did a great job. GoPro in one hand, running the boat in the other. Anyway, my mom and dad are in their 80s. They caught some coho. Mom caught her first coho. We got that little video to bring to you. I think you're going to enjoy that. And then, of course, we'll come back and in studio here kind of for the remainder of the show. I'm introducing you to my folks. Dad's 84, mom's 81. And we want to walk through some history, how it all got started, and, you know, why we're all fishing. And then some more later on the show with mom and dad, the passion for fishing and how this fishing partnership for them actually evolved late in life. Wait till you hear this story. It's pretty funny. And then, of course, their passion for kokanee. I want to touch in on that and the fact that mom's caught her first coho. And this last season, she got her first Chinook out of Puget Sound. It was a phenomenal day. So lots to cover with them. If you're in your 80s, you should be doing exactly what these two are doing because they're having a heck of a lot of fun. Don't go anywhere. Going to jump out for a quick break. We come back, going to bring in our friend Trent Fisher, talk some elk hunting and a lot of things going on with Born and Raised Outdoors right here, Fish on Northwest.
Defiance Marine is the one-stop shop for the Pacific Northwest angler. Defiance Marine guarantees the best price on a new and best service on a repower for your current boat. Defiance Marine is a Honda Premier dealership and one of the largest on the West Coast. Defiance Marine is a boat dealer who proudly sells Defiance, Allied, and Arima boats. All boats are built by West Coast fishermen for West Coast fishermen. Defiance Marine has all your boating needs to help you get out on the water.
If you're looking for the best fishing rods in the world, you really do need to take a look at the Edge rods. I designed and built new machinery, and I think this new machinery has enabled us to build blanks like no other company can build without this equipment. There is no other rods in the world that are as good as these rods. You owe it to yourself to take a good look at them.
All right, welcome back here in studio, Dwayne England, Fish on Northwest. And tonight, bringing back a guest that I don't think I've had him on for, I bet it's been almost 2 years. And I think the last time we were talking bear hunting. Nonetheless, Trent Fisher, Born and Raised Outdoors. Most of you are well familiar with this guy and his crew. I want to welcome back to the show, Trent. Thanks for taking some time out. I know you guys are extremely busy.
I appreciate it, man. No, it's that time of year. It's that time of year.
Yeah, for sure. So, hey, another season kind of in the books. You still got a few things going on. But before we delve on into that, you know, there's folks out here maybe through Root Sports and whatnot in other states may not be familiar exactly with what you guys got going on. So quickly, maybe list off the four main characters, the other three that you run around with, and actually how many years has the Born and Raised crew been creating content and getting these hunting videos out there?
I think we're coming up on like 16 years or some crazy thing at this point. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we started out in the DVD world and thought that was where it was at. And then YouTube came a real thing. And so now, Born and Raised Outdoors on YouTube. And we have almost, a few hundred big game hunting videos out there.
Yeah. And you got your brother, Trevor.
Yeah, I got Trevor, Cody, Strand, Steve. We got a group that we just all kind of conglomerate in. We got a pretty good team, actually, as far as a couple great camera editors with Chase and Noah, and they do a great job at telling a story And it's been pretty awesome as far as having them on board.
Yeah, I mean, this doesn't happen overnight. The growth of it has been impressive, and you guys have been grinding it out for a long time. You and Cody, I mean, it's your full-time deal now as of a few years ago, and you and I have had those conversations, and it's a great story. Going into this year, how many tags did you guys actually pull, and how many states did you actually put boots on the ground?
Yeah, we were super blessed this year. We drew some decent, not great tags, but we just got really blessed on what we actually accomplished this year. I hunted Oregon, New Mexico, Utah. I didn't hunt myself, but I was there, so I will either go and participate in the hunt and call usually, or film as well. And so, anyway, we hit Idaho as well. So we hit about four or five different states so far this year. I'm headed to Alaska in 2 days. I went to Alaska before season already, so I've been there. I've just been all over the place lately. It's been amazing. It's been amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really good. We killed 9 bulls this year so far. So,
did you fill all your tags, all your elk tags? Did you have 9?
We didn't fill all of our tags. There's always a few that, you know, if it never gets hunted or, you know, something of that nature, some over the counter stuff. But we were very successful, and it's been one of our best years that we've had.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Especially, I mean, as we're moving forward here, you know, most places you go, the archery thing, you know, partially thanks to guys like you, your crew, and other guys, Hushin and a handful of others out there, really compelling people to get off the beaten path, grab the bow, get out in the woods, and go after them. So there's areas that are getting crowded, man. But you know, it's just inspiration. You guys are driving. you guys are driving inspiration to a lot of people.
It's opportunity. You know what I mean? That's what I tell everybody. They're always like, "Well, do you hunt all public land?" And I said, "Yeah, there is, but also we hunt private timberland. We have anytime you can get an opportunity to go hunting, I just encourage anybody.
That's right.
Go take the opportunity."
Yeah, it's a good point. So to create all this content, you guys capture. It takes a small army. It takes a crew. You guys got the main four that are hunting. You guys are also holding cameras, videographers, and helping, you know, to actually, the end result is you want to capture the content. You want to capture the full story. How many on the crew typically hit the ground running? You head to New Mexico for a tag or two. How many people are going?
Yeah, so usually we'll run 5 deep, you know, just to try to hunt one elk, we'll run 5 deep. And that's one of my favorite ways to do it. If I can have 2 shooters out front, I can have 2 cameramen, and then I can have back whoever calling back there, and then trying to just steer that elk in the right direction. It just, there's so much more success when you do it as a team. And I think people get caught up and, I need to go kill. But if you just break it down and like, man, if you give up for your buddy just as much as he'll give up for you, you guys are both going to be way more successful.
That's a valuable point right there. I think oftentimes we get so caught up in the, hey, I got to get this done. No, we collectively need to get this done, and you know it's going to pay off for everybody. Everybody's rewarded when the team is successful, right? So, 100%. When you guys have multiple tags like that, and you know somebody's up as you know next shooter or whatever, I mean, how do you decide, or is it?
We used to do a coin flip. We used to do, however, but right. Now it's just like, hey, you go today, and I'll go tomorrow.
Gotcha.
You know,
yeah. Well, there's some confidence there too. It's like, hey, we're going to get our bulls, right? So. Yeah, coin flip or whatever, or Rochambeau, you want to go first, and you know, or gentleman out, just whatever. I like to hear that. That's fantastic. Who got the biggest elk this season?
Actually, the most emotional hunt of the year, it was my father. Actually.
Oh, yeah, I got some questions for you on that one here, moving into the second segment. So tell you what,
absolutely
great segue, absolutely. Buddy. We'll jump out for a quick break. Don't go anywhere. I'm gonna hold you over. We'll jump out for a quick break. We come back. More with Trent Fisher, born and raised outdoors, right here, Fish Out Northwest.
Sportco, an outdoor emporium, is the largest local outfitter in the Northwest since 1975, providing thousands of people affordable outdoor gear. This summer, make your next outdoor adventure more affordable by shopping at our warehouse-style pricing. We are a local Scotty dealer, offering sales, service, and repair. Located in Fife and Seattle, come visit us today. The outdoors awaits you.
All right, welcome back here to the show, Fish of Northwest. In studio guest, Trent Fisher, born and raised outdoors. And Trent, before the break, we were talking about the biggest elk that got hammered this year. And before I jump there, though, I got a couple other questions referencing some of our content from the first segment. So we mentioned multiple states. You personally, which is your personal, you know, favorite state to hunt for elk?
Oh, man, I love Wyoming. Wyoming is it's such a beautiful state, and I've done really, really well there in the past. The thing about now is I get asked that question all the time.
Oh,
it's like, it's just getting so hard to draw Wyoming anymore, just on a general draw. So, man, I guess my answer probably turns to whatever state you can hunt now, because it's just, it's so hard to hunt these states that, you know, you really want to. And it's maybe 4 years, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely. So count your blessings when you get that one for sure. Who would be the best archer? Who's the best shot amongst the four of you? Mr. Consistent. Who's Mr. Consistent?
It varies. I don't know the best shot. I think there's such thing as a good shot, and then there's such thing as a good hunting, you know, under pressure shot.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a totally different thing. So I don't know as far as that goes. Any one of our guys, I would trust with a bow in their hands with an elk within 50 yards.
Yeah. How about that? Yeah. That sounds good. So let's face it. You guys put out a lot of great content, lots of success stories. Hunting's hard, you know, and especially what you guys are out doing, getting off the beaten path. Sometimes you're using bikes, getting out, you know, way up in there, hiking in, spike camps, the whole deal. I mean, you guys put it all out there. There's a lot of successes that people get to enjoy watching. There's got to be failures too. I mean, how often are some of these hunts complete failures, frustration? You know, is the emotion come out in you guys at times? How's that all go?
Yeah, definitely, man. We're a group of guys. And if anytime you get 5, 6, 7 personalities, male personalities all together at one point, and you're trying to go after one common goal, I'm not going to lie to you. There's been you know, a lot of confrontation, there's times where there's disagreements, and you have to just kind of go back to the team and just kind of circle back and say, okay, what are we doing, guys? Right. You know, let's not let this frustrate us. I think there was a time that we really felt like killing an animal was the only way that we succeeded. Oh. And it was tough. You've got to get out of that realm of thinking that way, just because it's like, it's the hunt that succeeds the most. It's maybe teaching someone something about wind direction or something about, you know, not to do this at one time and everything. And it was interesting. And we never really saw that until we looked at the views that we were getting in the comments and everything. And it was interesting where some of the hunts where we didn't shoot anything were some of the most well-viewed, well-watched videos, just because people related to it so well. Sure. So it was like, you know what, that was me this season. And honestly, that, you know, I haven't had a tag yet this year for elk, but as far as like, that's been me numerous times where I didn't get one or something of that nature. So they're pretty interesting to kind of, you know, you got to put your ego at check, and you just got to kind of, you know, just go with it sometimes.
Well, it says a lot about your guys' character too. You're not afraid to show, I don't want to call them failures, because every hunt, the experiences are well worth it. The camaraderie, the brotherhood you guys share, you know, the effort and the team effort you guys put in, and then to come up empty handed shows that even you guys at the top of your game, it's not always, like you said, it's not always about the kill, right? It's about the time spent and the takeaways in that. And you're right, absolutely right. The person sitting at home watching this on their computer or TV, they put themselves right in those boots, and they've been there. So credit to you guys for not just, you know, showboating the kills and high-fiving and that stuff, because you guys are way deeper than that, and I really respect you for that entire thing. So what are your thoughts on newer folks getting out there, stomping through the woods, trying to get their first elk, archery, muzzle loader? It involves calling. And oftentimes you hear folks in the woods making a lot of noise, and you think all too often, especially newer folks trying to figure it all out, might put a little too much emphasis on bugling when it wouldn't be appropriate.
When it wouldn't, is that what you're asking?
Yeah, it would not be appropriate, or it's not aiding them in any way. You know, it might sound great, but it's really not what you want to be doing.
Yeah, I see that train of thought. So we hunt with the whole train of thought of just like trying to find that one that wants to bugle, you know, trying to want the find that one that wants to play our game. And there's a lot of times we screw up by not slow playing something and maybe, okay, let's not call, let's figure something else out here. But we honestly move to the calls as fast as, because it gets those elk at close range. It makes that encounter in kind of our favor, right? It's kind of what we've learned doing. If you look at a lot of other hunters, you know, Cameron Haynes, for example, he doesn't call hardly at all.
Yeah.
He's more of a stock kind of guy, gets in with the herd and everything and does some herd shadowing and stuff like that. We drift more towards the side of let's call this thing in and let's get it right in our lap and let's have an encounter here, speaking, you know, his language and duping him that way. But it's just everybody has their own thing and there's no right or wrong way. Mm-hmm. It's just you mentioned on young people and people that haven't done it much getting out there, man, any way you want to do it, there's no right, there's no wrong way. Just get out there and do it. You know, just it's not unobtainable. Hunting out west is not unobtainable. Anybody can do it, honestly.
Well, that's how you gain the experience, right? Those encounters, correct, whether they're successes or failures, you ping pong that back and forth with that animal. The outcome is a takeaway, right? So what do you think? So traveling around multiple states, the rut timing varies so much, but you guys have more successes, you know, getting bulls down, utilizing bugle for the most part, or a lot, correct, of times are you successful with just simply cow calls?
I do both. Yeah. So I'll locate with bugles and everything. And if I can get a bull to bugle off of a cow call, I'm not going to use a bugle. I'm just going to, and there's a good chance you'll kill that bull. If he's going to bugle to a cow call, there's a good chance he's going to come home, you know, and he's lovesick and that nature. So it's right, finding the nature of each elk is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. So, hey, you mentioned largest, before we get out of here, largest bull put down this year, there was a 300 Win Mag involved, and I'm not mistaken, on a Fisher family outing, right?
You're correct. Yeah, we've so Sig gave me that prototype, and it's the new Sig Cross 300 Win Mag anyway, and we've already killed two bulls and three bucks with it already, but it's been an absolute hammer. But get back to the story, it was my dad. Anyway, it was a hunt this year that our whole family went on. So I had Trevor, my brother, my mother was there, and my other brother, Austin, was there, and dad. So it was all five of us. It was really, really special. And dad hammered a bull in Utah that was it's probably somewhere around 335, 340 inches. It's
nice. A big one. What an experience, man. You got that all on film. That one coming to a YouTube channel near you soon?
Yes, correct. Yeah, it is.
Speaking of which, when's the first actual, like,
so we're going to run a caribou. I took my daughter on her first big game hunt this year.
Right.
And she killed her first big game animal in Alaska, which is pretty special.
Saw that, yeah.
And so we're going to run that here in just the next week or so.
Okay.
And then we're going to start towards the end of the month on Land of the Free, and then we'll run that for through the end of the year.
Right.
We've got a lot of hunts coming.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, for those that don't know, where do they find you real quick before we get out of here?
Just Born and Raised Outdoors on any platform, whether it be YouTube, Facebook, Instagram.
Got it. Always a pleasure, buddy. Didn't have time to talk black bear or blacktail or mule deer hunts coming up, but I might have to catch up with you down the road here in a bit. So appreciate you taking time tonight, man. I know you're, again, always busy, but willing to spend some time with us. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the opportunity, Dwayne. Appreciate it, buddy.
Absolutely. Take care. All right. Trent Fisher, Born and Raised Outdoors. Make sure you take a little time, jump over to YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. They're all over the place, and their videos are hitting now, and it's fantastic stuff to watch. All right, don't go anywhere. We come back, going to introduce you to a little bit of, some coho video right after this break, right here at Fish on Northwest.
You haven't been here, but you know it. You've heard the sounds, smelled the air, and seen where your heart lands, if not yet. You haven't been here, but you've longed for a destination near or far, where the young and old find rest and excitement, not a part. You haven't been here, but you're on your way to a place not far. ExploreTheDalles.com.
All right, welcome back here at Fish on Northwest. That was fantastic. Trent and the entire group there at Born and Raised Outdoors, fantastic guys. I told them I'll see him soon down there at the Portland show, if nothing else, as we roll into end of January into February. So, all right, we're going to switch gears here. Time to talk a little bit of fishing, coho fishing, family history. Lots of lots of history there. And I just thought, with Tommy being gone, and, you know, sometimes I try to pull in a co-host, and then I thought, you know what, I'm not going to pull in a co-host this week. I'm going to invite my mom and dad in. You know, David Letterman used to always bring his mom on the show, and it was a huge success. So I thought, you know, pressure's on mom. We're going to get through this evening and make it work. So it should be a lot of fun. Last year, Jordan and I actually got them out into the Grays Harbor region, going for coho. And this summer, we were up in Puget Sound, and as you guys heard me mention earlier, got into some Chinook and coho and pinks and whatnot. But last year, we're just out fishing, having family fun, trying to get mom her first coho. And Jordan's running the boat, running GoPros. We shot a little video. I threw that together just so you guys could see the experience and the excitement of it all. Mom catching coho. So this is just a quick little 3-minute GoPro video that, you know what, I just love this thing to death. So we're going to check this out right here.
Allied, the new leader in heavy gauge aluminum boats. Allied boats have standard reverse chine and lifting rakes to help you plane faster and run at lower RPMs. Allied boats have several models to choose from, ranging from a 19-foot Mustang all the way up to a 32-foot Liberator. So regardless of what type of heavy gauge aluminum boats you are looking for, Allied Boats will have it for you. Contact Allied Boats today to learn more about these incredible fishing machines.
All right, welcome back here at Fish Out Northwest. New co-host in the house this evening to join me in Tommy's absence. We're going to see how this is going to go. Martin and Rose England, my parents, 84 and 81 years young. I got permission to say my mother's age, by the way. So yeah. What do you guys think? Not the first time in the studio, but first time on the show.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's just dial it all the way back, Pops. I mean, you grew up on a dairy farm. Grandpa didn't fish.
Nope.
Uncle Bert, your brother,
he fished a little bit, not much.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when did you pick up fishing? How old were you?
Probably six.
6 years old.
Six, 7 years old, yeah.
And you were fishing what? White River, the Flume?
Oh, no. I had a good friend of mine, Larry Fargo, and his parents were friends of my mom and dad.
Yeah.
And they lived on a lake, Clear Lake, for a while.
Okay.
Right.
And I'd go up there in the summertime. I was probably about 7 or 8 then, I'd started fishing before that. Even in Olympia, I'd ride my bike over to a little creek with a friend of mine, Dave Haggett, and we'd fish this little creek for trout.
You decided you were going to start fishing, hanging out with guys that fish, and Grandpa was okay with it. I'm sure he said, you get your chores done, you can go fishing.
Oh, boy, did I get in trouble. Especially at the Flume, you know.
Nope, you got to get the work done on the dairy farm. Yeah, you can't go screw around catching doggone fish. Would you bring them home? Would Grandma cook them?
Yeah, mostly whitefish in the Flume at that time.
Yeah. What, I think I was, what, 6 or 8? When did you get me started fishing?
Well, actually, steelhead fishing when you were 12.
Yeah, that I remember. Earlier. But yeah. I got trout at a young age.
You used to take them out to the lakes.
Yeah.
To the lakes.
Lake Taps. My first trout was on Lake Taps. Yeah. Of all the fish in Lake Taps, I caught a trout. Yeah. And all I remember is coming back in, mom soaking wet. And because I grew up with 4 siblings, and you're chasing kids in and out of the water, trying to keep the little guys from falling
in.
We're out there screwing around catching fish. I was all excited about. I think I rode home in the back of the truck with that fish laying next to me.
And
probably. Yeah. And then
you're pretty young because those other guys were pretty young.
Yeah, Kevin was a baby. So Dean and I especially.
Yeah.
Really got into the fishing deal when we were young. I remember, you know, working in the summertime and dad wanted to go, hey, we're going to go bass fishing, but we got to get this done first. We always had to get stuff done, then we could go fishing. He had us out bass fishing, perch fishing, trout fishing. Yeah. We would ride our bikes down to DeCourcy Park.
Yeah.
20, 25 minutes away.
Right.
No cell phones.
No.
No life preservers. We're around water. We're young. And we would leave in the morning and not get back to almost dinner, and didn't matter, did it?
No. Didn't matter. It was safe then.
You always said if it was dark and we weren't home, then you would probably get in the car and come look for us.
Yeah.
She would.
I'd get a little worried by then.
She would.
Yeah. She would. Yeah.
Yeah.
You were like, oh, it was fun. Hey, you mentioned it. My first steelhead was 12 years old. I started at 11. Never caught a fish the first year.
Right.
Lost a bunch.
Yeah.
Now, we're talking steelhead fishing in 73, 74,
yep.
right? I got my first steelhead at 12 years old, Christmas Eve day.
Absolutely.
Above Alderton.
And you know what happened?
At the outhouse hole. Talk about that. Do you remember that day?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
We got down there. You got first fish on.
Yeah.
And you lost it. It came off, and I looked at your leader and was kind of...
Like a pigtail.
Yeah, pigtail. So I knew what happened. Your knot came loose.
Uh-huh.
You were quite upset about that.
You told me, you go up there and sit on that log.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you tie a hook, and you show it to me. And when you've tied a good enough knot on that hook, I'll let you go back fishing.
I was going to tie it for you. You have to do
it. I know. You made me tie my own leaders back then, 12 years old. So I did, and I got that first steelhead. It's a little buck, about 8 pounds, pictures upstairs. But... yeah, Christmas Eve day, couldn't wait to go to Grandma and Grandpa's house and show them that.
Absolutely.
Because that was a proud day. Finally caught one. Lost so many steelhead. Yeah. And the fact that you knew all that area so well, we'd start out, you know, Puyallup River in its heyday, and then we'd go to the Carbon. You're taking me all over the Carbon River. And then anybody that has great memories of the opportunity to fish South Perry Creek for wild steelhead, boy, I tell you what, that's
it. There are plants, too.
There were plants in there.
Yeah.
Lots of plants. But that is a whole different level of steelhead fishing. And, you know, by the time I was driving, 16 years old, and it closed when I was 17, but that final year of steelhead fishing for me and my buddy Keith back then, we lost more steelhead in the wood, in the small creek. And, you know, we're talking authentic drift fishing, small, small pearl corkies and stuff.
Yeah.
How about using eggs back in the day for steelhead?
It's about all I used for many years. Finally started using corkies, you know, later on. But mostly just started out with eggs and yarn.
How would you cure up your eggs? What was the process? And there were some pantyhose involved.
Back then it was borax and salt, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't have all the preservatives.
But we would tie them in little spawn bags.
Oh, when I'd run short.
Yeah.
I'd take the eggs in the jar that you buy, Poskies or whatever.
Right.
You run short, you tie them up in the cheesecloth.
Yep.
Hey, man. It was dynamite.
When you were running short on eggs, because you only steelhead fished back then. So if you got a hen, you took care of them eggs and you fish those eggs.
Yeah.
You take me fishing, you're giving me the little cheesecloth bait. Yep. And I would fish one cheesecloth bait for like the first half of the day. Because you always said the scent's on the on the rag and with the corky and the yarn, you know, they're going to bite. And they did,
They did.
But... now you get a bunch of eggs and go fishing. Boy, you go through eggs like crazy because just you got so much of them, right?
Yeah.
So, but, you know, early days of fishing, you're the one that got us all into this. And now your great-granddaughter also likes to fish. So because of you, we got four generations in this family fishing, right? So much more to get to, so much more to get through. We're going to jump out for a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We got a little bit more conversation here with Ro in this passion for fishing. At a late start at 75 years young. This is a great story. Come back right after this break, right here, Fish on Northwest.
New days, new beginnings, new friends, new loves, new dreams, new goals, new scenery, new job. No matter what the next chapter holds, Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate will be there to help you find the new that's right for your lifestyle at any stage of your life. Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate. Expect better.
All right, welcome back here in studio to Win England with my folks, Ro and Mickey, as the family calls you. We don't have time. We don't even have time to talk about how your name goes from Marty or Martin
don't
to
go
the nickname
there.
Mickey, but it's a great story. One that I love that story. So, Mom, we got to kind of focus, dial this down on you here. This guy's been fishing ever since you've known him.
Yeah.
You guys growing up and right in the Swiss community and in dairy farms and whatnot. You decide at 75 years of age.
Well, you know.
Or thereabouts, you're going to start fishing. How did that all come
together? I think what happened is when we got Dean's boat back.
Yeah.
So Mickey talks about going fishing. I thought, you know, I really don't like you going out there by yourself.
Oh, that's a good point.
And so I said, you know, I could just come along, sit in the boat, ride, you know, and
read
keep you company. And take, bring a book.
Right.
And so then we kind of talked, and he says, well, maybe you could go fishing.
Oh, there's an idea. You're in the boat. You're already here.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how it started. And then I thought... Probably now he probably thinks, I wish you would have brought that book.
Actually, you know what he was thinking going into? He's like, I should really talk her into fishing. That's an extra rod. That's an extra limit. Yeah. It's like, she's an extra limit.
We
got to maximize my opportunity
so
here.
So you're just using me is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what Sherry considers it when I ask her to go fishing. You just want my limit. So there you guys are. Now, you've made a handful of trips with friends over the last several years over to Twin Lakes.
Right.
Fishing off the docks, fishing out of boats. What's the biggest trip, Lloyd, you've caught over there? Was it off the dock?
No, we were in Nelson's boat.
Yeah.
And I think it was like 6 pounds, wasn't it? I 2 years I caught the biggest of our whole group.
Well, of course you did.
Can I tell you a little story on that?
I'm sure you will, yes.
Her rod is in the fish in the holder.
Right.
And she's sitting there and I look over and this rod is just gone.
Buried.
Gone like this down there. She looks over, she looks at me, she goes, is that my rod?
Yeah. Well, I had barely, I think, sat down.
That's right.
So it was kind of.
You
don't
want to grab that.
You don't want to grab that. Yeah. Just leave it.
6 pound fish. What did you think? I mean, you get so excited. The video doesn't lie. Those coho, you were so far, you were so proud of her.
Yeah.
It was such a fun day.
Yeah, it was.
These big trout and stuff, I mean, it's just a kick in the pants, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
You've gotten pretty competitive,
and
too, by the way.
She got another one.
Oh, yeah. Well, lady luck. So. Yeah. And so when you guys take the Livingston out, now we upgraded your electronics, got you some big Raymarine, which is working for you.
Yeah.
You got the hand crank downriggers. Now, are you fishing off the downrigger?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh. You put it down the whole deal? And
well, not
once
always.
In a while
once in a while. But
are you you baiting up your own rig?
As long as it's not wiggly.
Oh, so like corn with scent and stuff, that's okay?
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. How important is color in kokanee fishing, Mother?
Pretty they seem to like the green and the pinks.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Is that your go-to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. Yeah.
Looking for a little insight here. How important is troll speed? How important is troll speed?
Well, Mickey says it's pretty important.
Oh, what does he know? Give me a speed of optimal that's typical for, say, going after kokanee. Do you know?
Oh, man.
Does he have that discussion with you?
Yeah.
Not
one,
really?
1.4? No.
2 to 4.
Yeah.
1.4. Hey, you know what? You nailed it. I out here in the backyard. That's my go-to for most times. Yeah, 1.4.
So
well done.
I do listen.
When the fish aren't biting, be honest now, and he's kind of doing his thing, are you suggestive? Do you like, hey, we should probably...
I once in a while, I'll say, you know, maybe... Yeah.
Does he listen?
Last time he did, I think.
And?
Sometimes. And then... Actually, I think we switched out something, and then we did catch something.
The last couple times you guys have hit the lake,
yeah.
who's caught the majority of the fish?
I don't want to talk about it.
I know you don't.
Well, let's see that last time, and kokanee. All kokanee.
Right.
I got 5 kokanee.
And he got...
Time before last.
0.
He got 0.
Yeah.
I got 0.
Now, you got a 19-incher out of American Lake.
I did.
Yes.
Nice
big
fish. Kokanee.
Yeah.
Nice and these fish you guys caught recently... Are these late fall fish starting to turn a little bit, getting a kite on them?
Yeah.
But you got 5 that day, he got none.
Yeah.
This is
and that's the most we've ever caught, though. On,
as far as number of kokanee on a day, it's been a tough grind out there, but you guys are grinding. I mean, there you are again, 81, 84, launching the Livingston, hitting the water. You guys are wearing your PFDs, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because back in the day, it didn't matter.
Yeah, no,
with
we
us
do.
Kids, you, you didn't care. But now it's important, apparently.
Yeah.
So I got it. I see where the value is here.
Well, okay. My first fish was a kokanee, the first fish I caught.
Oh,
when
my
we
gosh.
Started, the first time we went out.
And then you knew you were in trouble.
Yeah.
And you keep bringing her back.
I started her off with a spinner outfit. I thought, well, I just wanted her to catch a trout or something out there. Just get her started. So she's probably back there about 70 feet, just no weight, just letting them go along. Pretty soon that rod just goes wham, like that. And this kokanee comes out of the water, and I just going,
oh, boy.
On a worm.
Yeah.
I got pretty excited.
Lady,
yeah,
she got
and she goes, it's jumping.
That's what they do.
Yes, it is.
Okay. We got a little bit more to get through. We never have enough time, but we're going to jump out for a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We got more with Ro and Mickey after this break right here, Fish on Northwest.
A Northwest favorite for almost 40 years, Arima boats are manufactured with pride in Bremerton, Washington. All Arima boats are built without any structural wood materials. That is why Arima boats are backed with a lifetime warranty. Arima can offer every boat with Honda outboard packages so that you can take advantage of the reliability and 5-year top-to-prop warranty from your Honda outboard. Call or stop by Arima Boats today and let them help you get into your very next boat.
All right, welcome back here in studio to New England with my folks, Ro and Mickey. You guys are kicking the pants. So, growing up fishing, Pops, we put a lot of time in on the Puyallup. And you had me steelhead fishing. Christmas break, we were fishing.
Yeah.
Right? That was, you took time off work. You took a week off during Christmas break. You and I go steelhead fishing. Yeah. And you had me out there. Any morning I wanted to go, you were taking me. Yeah. You know, and Bob Campbell sometimes joined us. And then after I got hired on the fire department, started heading down here, fishing this Grays Harbor system. Those first coho that we started putting on the beach, when we were used to 6 and 8 pounders up there out of Puyallup, and I think we're doing pretty good. What'd you think about the fish down here way back in the early 90s?
Oh, boy. That one day went into the Wainuchi the first time.
Unbelievable.
Never saw silvers like that.
And the local guy comes up to us and he goes, yeah, those are pretty good. You know, we're looking at 13, 14-pound coho, right?
Yeah.
To us, it was a whole new world. I mean, he'd been fishing down here now for 35, 36 years. And back then, you know, getting those, me, you, and Dean, getting those big Chinook, keeping them, drift fishing, eggs and regs.
Yeah.
Right?
Eggs and regs.
What colors would you put into that reg?
Well, steelhead, I was using the purple, orange, and kind of a goldish yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And then for salmon, I'd throw a chartreuse in there.
Yeah, you always told me that that color combo you thought really looked like a sand shrimp underwater. And you run that with some eggs. And boy, for years, long before float fishing and everything else, we would just drift fish, eggs and corky, or eggs and regs. And boy, them. For those that have never felt a Chinook biting on eggs aren't you missing out?
Just give them time.
Oh, yeah. Don't be too early. Don't pull the trigger too early. So when he was bringing steelhead home, winter steelhead home back in the day like that, we didn't have vacuum sealers and all that stuff.
Right. Yeah.
How'd you freeze that stuff? Or did we just eat the fish till it was gone? I mean, you had five kids to feed. Do you remember? Did all the kids like fish? Did we all eat fish?
Your
probably
sister.
Not my sister.
Yeah, no. Not too much. She may have.
I don't think she did.
Maybe when she was younger, she maybe tried salmon, but she doesn't really do fish.
But you guys weren't, you know, you weren't barbecuing a whole lot back then.
No.
You're cooking in the oven and whatnot, you know? And it's winter steelhead, which is not the best tasting fish out there, but hey, you're a diesel mechanic raising five kids, you know, you catch a fish, we're eating that fish.
Yeah.
That was the difference. Like, we're fishing for sustenance here, you know. Yeah. So, has Judy ever even caught a fish?
No.
Did she go fishing?
No.
Yeah, she might have when she was little, but I don't.
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Of course, I don't remember a lot of things.
Wow, this is true. Yeah. But you do remember a lot of stuff, too. How about your hatchery Chinook this summer on Puget Sound?
Yeah, well, that was an awesome day anyway.
Wasn't
just to be with you and Jordan, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So was great. Three generations out there doing that. And for you to catch a Chinook like that.
Yeah.
And I often like
to pull it in.
Oh, they're strong.
Yeah.
Well, often, and I even tell people this, you know, you're 5 foot with the fro, 4'11".
Yeah.
If we pat it down, I mean, and I remind you, the rods we're using are more than twice as long as you are tall.
Yeah. And they're pretty heavy.
Yeah. But you do great. I mean, you get those fish in and it all comes together. All right. We need to jump out for a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We come back, we're going to close out the show with Rowan Mickey. More right here, Fish on Northwest.
If you're looking for the best fishing rods in the world, you really do need to take a look at the Edge rods. I designed and built new machinery, and I think this new machinery has enabled us to build blanks like no other company could build without this equipment. There is no other rods in the world that are as good as these rods. You owe it to yourself to take a good look at them.
All right, welcome back here in studio as we wind down the show with my folks. So glad you guys made it in. How's the butt whooping going? It continues, huh?
It's hard to sit down.
I find it amusing that Mom told me flat out one of her biggest regrets in life is that she started so late in life fishing. And you then back that up with one of your biggest regrets is that you allowed her to get into the boat. You thought it was a good plan going in, but not so much at this point.
Not so much now, no.
Because it hurts every time, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
You guys are awesome. I'm so proud of the fact that you guys are getting that boat out there, hitting the water. And I always know when you're out there. I got people that call me and say, hey, your folks are out here, ridding the world of fish again. So it's a good thing. So outstanding. Hey, before we get out of here, are you hunting this weekend? You should. These weather systems may be conducive. I'll tell you what. Here's a couple photos off my trail cam. I got a bear in there. If you guys have been following us on Facebook, you'll notice that I put this bear up. I had a lot of people weigh in on this, and no pun intended, but that bear is right around a 300-pound bear. If that guy decides to show during daylight hours, I may have to tattoo him, although I don't really want to shoot a bear, but that one is definitely worth doing. And I got a couple nice bucks in there as well that I've been chasing. There's a couple nice size 3-points. That's one of the bigger ones. Hopefully you guys have a lot of activity on your trail cams and can take advantage of the current modern rifle season, which goes through till October 31st. So you still got some time to get that blacktail. Few of them have been hitting the dirt for sure. I'm hoping to close the deal. Like I told you at the start of the show, the 22nd, historically, at least the last 2 years, has been my go-to day. Would like for a little more significant of a weather drop, as in temperature. I guess we'll see what it brings us, but nonetheless, I'm putting some time back in the woods this weekend. Hopefully you are too. Fishing should still continue. Got a lot of opportunity out here in these Grays Harbor region and even up north. Snohomish system, whatnot. There's a lot of coho around. It's a banner year. Plenty of time to still take advantage of that. You know, the nice thing out here, we get these coho coming all the way in through November. So we may bundle you up nice and warm, get you on a riverbank casting, teach you how to twitch jigs. I know a guy that makes them. He might be able to outfit you with some jigs. So could be a little fun. Wouldn't that be great to get her out, even bobber and egg in it? Maybe get over to Tillman's or something to see if we can. No, you don't want to deal with that?
No.
You don't want to. No, don't start that.
Don't start that one.
Well, about time. We've been doing this show 4.5 years now, and you guys finally fit me into your busy schedule.
Yeah.
So I appreciate
that. Well, thank
that.
You for having us.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Larry.
All right. Love you guys. So glad you could.
Me too.
Keep it going. All right. That's going to do it for us this week right here. Fish Out Northwest. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. Get out there and do something. We'll see you next week. Live in studio, Fish Out Northwest. Hey, thanks for joining us here on the Fish Out Northwest weekly podcast. I want to remind everyone that you can catch our weekly live stream show on our Facebook page and, of course, our YouTube channel every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. West Coast time. You'll get our insightful in-studio interviews, our extremely detailed how-to segments in the bait lab, the infield segments we bring to you when we're on the water or in the woods, and, of course, our amazing cooking recipes in the kitchen with co-host Sherry England and chef Jeff Maxfield. Give us a follow on our Facebook page at Fish Hunt Northwest. Also subscribe to our YouTube channel at Fish Hunt NW. Find us on Twitter and Instagram. And finally, go to our webpage at www.fishhuntnw.com for all the latest and greatest info. Join us each week here on our podcast. Join us each week at our live production. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.